What's up, you guys? Sean Ross Sapp. It's Fightful Select, Fightful Weekly Podcast, or you can call it the Backstage Report or the Q&A, whatever the hell you want to call it. Doesn't matter to me. It's the anchor of Fightful Select. We are talking all out news. We're talking all kinds of stuff. Plenty to get into. So let's go ahead and jump into it. AEW All Out, man, I enjoyed that show an awful lot. We had our full review over on Fightful, of course. Lots of stuff to get into. Swerve Hangman, they were planned as the main event for quite some time. And they had that incredible angle that sort of really just took it to the next level on Wednesday. It's so funny, I was at Black Label Pro's Combine show and Crown and Glory, and Mustafa Ali said, "I'm such a mark. I congratulated Swerve on buying his childhood home." And he said, "Thank you, bro." It was a wonderful moment. Well, not for Swerve in character, of course. But, man, this was something that I feel like they had to do to take it to the next level. But beyond that, got a lot of acclaim for it. And when the contract extension for Swerve got announced, I was like, why are they announcing this so early? And we had posted an update on Select noting that he was actually under contract for 5 or 6 months. Well, we saw why, because they used it as a vehicle to reveal that he had bought his childhood home. And they used a small crew, and they had some people travel in, a very small film crew. They also had firefighters on hand, all that stuff. And that was an honest-to-God actual shot of Hangman in front, or not in front of the house, on the side of the house. The fire was very close to him, I'm told. There were some that felt like, man, it was very close to him, like catching a blaze based on the way that it looked there. But we're told that there are storyline reasons planned as to why Hangman isn't in jail or on charges or anything like that. We had also reported they were slated to headline All Out, but people we talked to in AEW were just so happy about this angle. People at Black Label Pro that I talked to were buzzing about it as well. There were some very unusual comments, people saying, "Oh, they got the wrong house." No, it was the side of the house. I don't know. don't know why people thought that they would go to that trouble and not at least cross those T's, dot those I's. And I'm told that the Swerve contract actually wasn't signed as of the time that they announced it, but then it was finalized right after that. Lots of all-out news. The zero-hour Undisputed Kingdom Trios match was a late addition. Also in that match was Shane Taylor. He had been sidelined in recent months. He separated his shoulder at ROH Death Before Dishonor and actually finished that match. And he was also dealing with a small labral tear. Jericho was not planned for all-out in any capacity. Britt Baker was not at the show, for those that were asking. Hangman Page was not at the episode of Dynamite where the video aired. He wasn't needed. Those we spoke to at WBD said that talks with AEW are amicable and ongoing. Those in AEW say the deal being finished is a matter of time, but nobody was planning a reveal that night. A few AEW wrestlers visited the House of Glory show on Thursday as they got into town for Collision and Rampage the next night. Rosario Griot was the driver, and Davey Bang was one of the security guards for Swerve Strickland. Mustafa Ali was also at the show visiting. He lives in the area. He filmed his campaign vignette there as well. AEW had planned for the Costco guys to be at All Out for a number of weeks. I'm told AEW was very happy with the buzz that they got off of that. So Daniel Garcia had been discussed as a possible winner for All Out before MJF was decided on. And there have been a lot of things that had kind of been reported over the last week or so that I can't confirm. Like, we have not heard that Daniel Garcia has signed a new contract. I cannot confirm that MJF and Swerve are off TV right now. Personally can't confirm those. One thing we did hear, Mark Briscoe, okay after being busted open hard way. Willow seemed to be okay after taking a foot to the back of the head during the street fight. The plastic bag smothering spot had been pitched a lot and shot down numerous times in AEW. Now, the incident that everybody was talking about, and everybody, I mean, man, dozens of people messaged me and said they saw security run to the back during the show. It was like a minor argument between some production people and a wrestler, and it was mainly just a wrestler saying, "Hey, man, he's just doing his job," type of thing. But it was two, like a photographer and a video person setting up for their individual shots, And the promo in that sense, the video takes precedence over the other person that was there. And there was some bickering back and forth. And then a wrestler just said, hey, man, he's just doing his job. And that was about the extent of it from what I understood. And again, I had tweeted a big nothing burger. Man, I hear of arguments and disagreements across every company that are way worse than this. And when I say way worse than that, not bad at all. Like, the only situation with this one that caused, I think, basic interest was the fact that there were security guards running back there and the history of these AEW pay-per-views and how fights end up happening there. And of course, a lot of people took to bad faith in saying, oh man, they never get this sorted out. Man, I hear this stuff about every company. There are disagreements and arguments in every company. I don't think this one's particularly that special. A couple stories that got confirmed. Braun Strowman filling in for Bronson Reed on the September 2nd Raw, and Sami Zayn starting a program with Gunther. Joe Hendry was not at Raw, despite being in town the night prior, and a lot of people speculating, so to speak. Cody Rhodes topped the European Tour merch charts internally. CM Punk got the number 2 spot. We're told that the highest grossing item at Bash in Berlin was the signed Cody Rhodes weight belt. Now, I've started to dig in more on these and try to find them because I see a lot of accounts that will like say, oh, based on WWE shop estimates and like Cody is in the top 5, Punk won't be in the top 5, but Reigns is always at the top. And like, listen, Reigns has been a top merch seller for them for years, but usually when he's not on these shows, it's just not the way the rankings fall. It's really all I can say about that one, but that information that I see posted publicly about estimates just aren't factual. There were several dates on the European tour that did break merch sale records for their respective cities for WWE, by the way. WWE's live event schedule looks like a lot of changes coming by the way of that. No domestic house shows outside of 2 at the end of September. I want to say Columbus, Georgia, and Huntsville, Alabama. And other than that, they don't have any domestic house shows planned until the holiday tour. That is a big money-making tour for WWE. But they're going back overseas. They're going. They've been traveling internationally between Mexico, Japan, Europe, an awful lot more than usual. Talent that I've spoken to have said that they haven't necessarily been told anything, but based on the assumptions and their schedules and what's in their talent relations app, they just figure that those are bigger money tours, and they're all happy that these have been scaled back. This was something that looked to be the case in about 2020, before the pandemic. And then, of course, when WWE was able to tour, they looked at it and said, well, we'll probably do really good business because people are just excited to be back seeing things live. And now the house shows, they do fine, but compared to what they're doing from a television point of view and just the houses they're filling there, it doesn't necessarily make as much sense to wear down their talent and run those house shows as well. Lots of contract news. Fightful had the first interview after Heather Reckless officially signed with TNA. Now, I'm told that she signed with TNA by Heather Reckless right after her first match. She had one, well, actually, not the first match that she had in TNA because she worked Giselle Shaw, but she ended up working Ash by Elegance, and then Gail Kim brought her in and then said, we want to sign you. And she's somebody that a lot of people on the indies were like, yeah, they're probably going to sign her. So not a big surprise there. Giselle Shaw has left the company. Funny enough, she asked for her release and was asked to come in and put over Heather Reckless on the way out, and she agreed to do so. I know that she had some hopes for creative plans, and obviously that didn't end up going the way that she wanted. She has planned to work Scott D'Amore's Maple Leaf Pro Wrestling. She is in a relationship with Scott D'Amore, so they're the natural inquisition there about, like, did that have anything to do with this? But I'm told the deal was actually set to be up later this year anyway, but it seems like TNA was just like, yeah, sure, just come in, put somebody over and you can go type of thing. Shayna Baszler re-signed with WWE on a multi-year deal, Fightful Select confirmed, as did Cedric Alexander. Cedric's was back in the spring. MVP had said in a recent interview or something like that that he believed that Cedric re-signed, and we were able to reach out, get a confirmation from the company that he did re-sign around WrestleMania time. Also, multi-year deal for Akira in MLW. He has been, man, he's been like a glue guy in that company. Multiple championships, some big stories, some very important matches. He wrestled Suzuki recently. He is there, I believe, through 2026. So he had already been contracted through the end of 2024 and then extended through the end of 2026 is what I'm under the impression of. Bobby Stevenson, though, he is finished up with WWE and spoke with Fightful for his first full-length interview. And you could tell he was disappointed. He could kind of see it coming, but he said that he was given a phone call and he said that he felt like something was off due to indirect signals. He gave some examples, such as being left behind while his peers were attending TNA. But he talked about a lot of the feedback that he got, and he seems very open to going back there. He wants to continue wrestling. He knows that MMA is also an option for him, but he feels like he has put some time into pro wrestling and wants to continue that, wants to pursue it, wants to make the most of the training and the hours and the years that he has put in there. That full interview drops on Monday. It's really good. He talks about working WWE main event, talked about having to change his name, getting advice from Cody Rhodes, working Tyler Bate as well. Lots of cool stuff in there. The Diamond Mine stuff as well. Other names that were thrown around. Lots of cool stuff in the Damon Kemp, Bobby Stevenson interview. Also interviewed Daniel Garcia ahead of AEW All Out. One of the clips of it went viral because Mina Shirakawa quote tweeted it, but he said that, you know, Mina Shirakawa does the dance better than anybody and it's pretty much hers now. But that was the thing that I noticed in the All Out match was that Daniel Garcia didn't dance. He stayed away from that. And that's something that he told me that he was proud of, that he had created that dance, but was ready to kind of leave that behind, was ready to do something else. And, you know, it's flattering that people use it for heat, but it's a chapter. It's not the title of the book, so to speak. That's my word, not his. He also spoke very highly of JD Drake and Wheeler Yuta, the work that they had put in. Encourage you guys to check out that interview as well. I know it's one of his first rounds of media, so to speak, and probably the first of many, because he is going to be very, very important to either AEW or WWE. Also, was very happy about the reaction that he got at Wembley because it was an uncertainty feeling, wondering if fans would remember him or care about his return, which is wild to think. Man is super over. We also had an interview with Willow that went up from Shirley ahead of her AEW All Out match. Make sure you guys check that out. But that's far from it. We had reported that Powerhouse Hobbs is backstage at AEW Dynamite on September 4th. Now, obviously, he wasn't used on the show, but he was there visiting. That's something we're going to kind of monitor. He seems like he's healing ahead of what many expected him to. So that's something to keep an eye on. I will be at AEW Dynamite on Wednesday. I'm going to attend that show. I'll try to call into the post show as well. But Rupp Arena, Lexington, Kentucky. Excited for that one. Lots of UK news as well, as is tradition from Corey. He interviewed L.A. Taylor. He had Riot Cabaret interview notes as well. Had some Michael Oku news, Kid Lykos, Rev Pro stuff as well. Always on top of things there. It's Q&A time. Nick O'Shea says, what do you think about the Spanish Fly? It's totally cool looking, but very unrealistic and impossible to do without the other guy jumping. I'm all for suspending reality, but how much suspension makes wrestling more like a circus versus more realistic moves like suplexes and DDTs? So, I was actually thinking about this the other day. Now, obviously, every person individually gets to determine how much they suspend their disbelief. And obviously, that move is one that you have to suspend your disbelief on. It's not realistic. It doesn't work. I've never seen it in a shoot scenario or anything like that. However, there are things I can pick apart from the very basic where I go, well, that's not realistic. I'll give you an example that I've used for years. Imagine a rear chin lock. You see somebody in it. They're not fighting it off with their hands. They don't have their hip blocked off. Why aren't they turning into that? Why aren't they sitting out? Why aren't they laying out? Why aren't they getting out of a rear chin lock? Do you know how often I see people locked in a rear chin lock with one leg posted in legitimate wrestling, grappling, catch wrestling scenarios? The answer is never. I have never seen it held on for longer than an LOL, look at what I'm doing. I just do not see it. What I see are guillotines. I see rear naked chokes nonstop. And rear naked chokes have become much more prevalent over the last 10 years in pro wrestling, for sure. But like, there are so many things. You never see a punch knock anybody out in pro wrestling. I got to suspend my disbelief for that because they no longer have it where punches, closed fist, are illegal. So why are you chopping somebody? If you're allowed to just punch them, why are you chopping them? What does that do that a punch wouldn't do to their face? The reason the chop exists is because the punch was supposed to be outlawed. You're supposed to open up your fist in order to do that. So there are a lot of things, like from the very, very most basic elements of pro wrestling that you have to suspend your disbelief on, or at least I do as a person who covered MMA for over a decade full time. But yeah, I mean, it's one of those moves where it's very pretty. I've come to accept it in pro wrestling. There are certain moves that I don't, but that's one that I've just come to accept. But I understand if it's not up your alley and you don't like it. Is there any pushback from AEW from WBD about the bag over Brian's head? And the person shared an experience and said it was not a good look, in my opinion. If you say it's not a good look, I completely understand it. I would be shocked to believe that it wasn't cleared by WBD. I would be very surprised. And I know that AEW has wanted to mimic more of like a television show. Do we know where Britt Baker is? She has not been at TV. Not been at TV. Could you see the Intuit Dome in LA hosting the first Raw on Netflix since it did not end up getting Survivor Series? Yeah, I could. I could. How do you predict the rest of the Bengals season going on the heels of this rough start against the Pats? I think they'll win 9 or 10 games. But common Bengals W. You can go there on YouTube or Twitter. I will be going on a rant on Monday. If the beatdown after the match was to write MJ off TV for a while, why not have Garcia win? Because Garcia might not be signed. I've noticed on the producer rundowns, the producers are listed by their working names. Does WWE list them in their working names, or does Fightful do that on its own? Yeah, we do that on our own. So for Abyss, it is Chris Park that's listed. For Kenny Dykstra, it is Kenny Doan. And actually for Petey Williams, it's usually Peter Williams or Pete Williams. It's not Petey Williams. Molly Holly is Nora Greenwald, and so on and so forth. Was there any heat on Lady Frost about Riho getting injured? Lady Frost has been off of AEW and ROH since that. No, she hasn't. She's been on there. She's still appearing. She faced Promise Braxton later that month, and then she did the Proving Ground match against Red Velvet in Texas as well. So yeah, she's still there. What kind of difference is there in TNA versus NXT as far as how matches and promos are laid out? Curious if there's a big learning curve when they cross over. NXT does have scripted promos, and I mean like scripted to the word, and it's far more produced. There's a lot less wiggle room there than in TNA, where sometimes they'll trust the performers, but if you want it scripted, you can get it scripted. They still have their producers as well, but you also have different cameras that you need to work to and different audiences you need to work to. But in the sense, like I'll say this, TNA tapings are laid out very similar to NXT's as well. In your lifetime, which two wrestlers have had the best in-ring chemistry? I got to say Okada and Omega. I mean, I have never seen anything to that point like Kenny Omega versus Okada. And it was, gosh, the wee hours of the morning, whatever that was. And they just had the most unbelievable match. And then they came back and did it again a few months later. And then they came back and did it again a couple months after that. And then they came back like 9 or 10 months later and did it again. Some of the most incredible matches I have ever seen. Just the most perfect chemistry. Hey, Sean, who do you think the big money match for Cena at Mania is? Feel like it's probably Gunther, but curious about your opinion. I believe it's Gunther as well, and I believe John Cena will win. I think John Cena will win the Royal Rumble, challenge Gunther, and then win the world title at WrestleMania and break the record. I absolutely think so. What are your expectations of Cena's matches next year? A lot of smoke and mirrors, or think he can still dial it up and go? Oh, I think there's going to be a whole lot of smoke and mirrors. A whole lot of smoke and mirrors, but I think he will dial it up when he needs to. I don't expect to see top rope famassers or anything like that. He's got to get through his tour, hopefully uninjured, because I don't know that we'll, you know, have a second shot at this, because John Cena is very successful outside of WWE, but I think that we'll see some things that we didn't believe that he could do. Hey, Sean, I noticed Orange Cassidy reverted back to his old theme. Any news on that? Licensing stuff, and they have went back and forth as well. You mentioned the Christmas tour is very profitable for WWE. Is it a good indication of what their major markets are? Yeah, and ones that they want to increase foothold on. Any news on the Freddie Prinze Jr. promotion? I've heard some stuff ongoing, some pitches for it, some possibilities for it, that if happen would be pretty substantial. I just don't know if they will actually happen. Any update on Tegan Knox? She's chilling, man. She's just chilling. What do you think Hanger's next feud will be with Swerve out for a while? I don't know that Swerve is out for a while yet, or is. What's the latest information on the AEW Continental Classic? Well, Eddie Kingston can't do it. The title is a bust. I'm sure they're going to keep doing the tournament, but like, who gives a damn about that belt at this point? And Hangman's next feud, I think it should be Okada, is what I think. With AEW having several trios and multi-man matches on their pre-shows, do wrestlers get bonuses for appearing on these shows and pay-per-views in general? No, it's worked into their downside guarantee these days. Did Motor City Machine Guns sign with WWE yet? I haven't heard that they've signed with anybody at all. Is Ricochet injured? Not that I've heard. Was there any talk backstage about any of the spots on All Out going too far? Nope, not at all. People just kind of expect that. Everybody has their opinion, but I haven't heard that at all. Have you heard anything about the AEW Fox rumors? Yeah, I mean, I've heard the rumor that Shockwave could be a Fox thing. I've heard that Fox could be interested, but I haven't heard anything really solid on that of late. Any word on Miro's status? I will check on that this week, but I think he's okay. I think he's good to go. Can you confirm what PW Insider said about EO, Kyrie, and recuperating Dakota all being faces on internal listings? Yeah, they were. But the presentation certainly doesn't indicate it, right? It's very odd. Very odd. What happened with the report on Death Rebel? I was not satisfied with some of the intel that we got on it, and it's being revised. Do wrestlers typically talk to each other after a match to discuss how it went or check on each other for possible mistakes and injuries? Yeah, almost every time. Almost every time. Every match that I've ever had has been like that. Like, after my match, you know, with Shaza, she made sure that I was good to go, that, you know, the cane shot to the head was okay, wasn't concussed, anything like that. Went over what went right, what went wrong. The stuff with Effie was, you know, far less. The Battle Royal thing, I think the Battle Royal was the only one I didn't, because the person who won it had to get ready for the match after that. But, like, when I did the spot with Hornswoggle, same thing. Mojo, same thing. And any time I've ever been there and done a match, you talk about it afterwards. And ideally you want to, because I can tell you personally, you want to learn how you could improve on it as well. Could Tony Khan turn the new broadcast signing deal into an important storyline? I don't think so. I don't think he's going to. Is it a coincidence the Mr. McMahon docuseries is premiering the night of Grand Slam? I don't think it's premiering the night of Grand Slam. I think it's premiering at like 3 a.m. Eastern that day. But I don't think this is something that WWE would want to counter-program with. I don't think WWE wants this out at all at this point. Everybody that I've talked to there would really like to wash their hands of Vince McMahon, at least outwardly towards me. And I don't personally have anybody that I talk to that still supports or advocates Vince McMahon. There were a couple of them in July 2022, and I hit them with the, come on, man, or come on, lady. You know, one of those. And even since then, those people were like, yeah, you were right. Probably shouldn't have even done that. Hey, Sean, have you heard any plans of B-Fab to get in the ring? I have not heard of any plans for B-Fab to get in the ring. I know that she trains a lot, though. Are they going back to taping ROH after Collisions and Dynamites? Haven't seen any spoilers from shows they have run since coming back from All In. Well, they taped way, way, way ahead of time. I would be surprised if they don't end up doing that, but I think they should probably go back to Universal or something. I don't want to see 700 matches on a taping, personally. What is going on with MJF and Daniel Garcia? Felt really weird to see a guy who's taking time off win and then get written off after the match. It's just the Daniel Garcia contract thing. That's it. Where's Scorpio Sky? Does AEW have any plans for him? He just started an angle where he's trying to join Private Party. So there was the vignette that aired. And other than that, he has not really wrestled in almost a year. I know he sustained an injury. But before that, I think he had wrestled a few matches. But the guy has largely not wrestled for over 2 years since losing the TNT title. Just a huge waste of his talents and abilities there. Fight Forever update. Will Ospreay has made it sound like they're going to continue supporting it, but I haven't heard of any support since then. Do you have any new info about the Moxley-Danielson angle from Saturday night? And Moxley, is he the planned person to take the belt from Bryan? I think he is. This is me talking. I think he is. If I were a betting man, I'd put money on it over on BetOnline.ag. I think he's the guy. I think that Danielson looks at him and says, this is a guy that I've spent the last few years of my career with. I want him to be that guy. Thoughts on Joey Votto retiring? As a Brewer fan, he was one of my visiting players to watch. Game will miss him. We were very lucky to have Joey Votto in Cincinnati. I mean, just a hilarious guy, a genius, an absolute genius, bro. And even when he was quote unquote bad, hitting, you know, 226 or 266, his OBP was so high, he was getting on base, man. I would have loved to have had a guy getting on base at a 314 clip this year. Would have been really great. I'll tell you a fond memory of Joey Votto was during his rookie season where you could absolutely tell he was about to be the guy in Cincinnati. Like, he was hitting over 320. He had a great, like, September call-up. There were games where the lineup included Josh Hamilton, Ken Griffey Jr., Brandon Phillips, Adam Dunn, Edwin Encarnacion, Joey Votto, and then it was like Bronson Arroyo on the hill and stuff like that. I was like, oh my God. I knew that I was seeing something special, even though, you know, one of those players was definitely in the twilight of their career. And yeah, even I think Alex Gonzalez was a shortstop, and he was a former all-star as well. Like, it was something very cool to see. I'm going to miss him a lot. Wish he could have got a last hurrah with the Blue Jays, but man, heartbreaking to see him go. Random question. When you saw it live, what were your reactions to the Bray Wyatt, Seth Rollins, Hell in a Cell match 2019? What was the reaction of that finish backstage at WWE? It was a wild time. Ali, my friend. We did a lot of reporting on this one. Oh, boy. So, first off, I hated it. It was terrible. My brand new co-host, Denise Salcedo, at the time, was live on the watch-along and had to, you know, on the WWE watch-along while Sean Waltman buried it. I hated it. I thought it was stupid. It was dumb to have booked Bray Wyatt in that situation anyway. They immediately found something hot, and Vince hot-shotted it, and that was just one of the truly worst eras of top title booking in wrestling history to me. One of, not the worst, but one of. And I thought it was rubbish. And then at 3 a.m. after a long night of reporting and getting backstage news for Fightful Select, I get a message from, a top star in the company that I never thought I'd ever hear from and have a good relationship with to this day. Never thought I'd hear from them. And they're like, I just read your report. As bad as it seemed, backstage was even worse because Vince McMahon tried to laugh it off at first. And then Vince McMahon was like, well, okay, this sucks. But Vince McMahon tried to laugh it off. He tried to pretend like, ha, 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 listen to him. He thought it was good heat, man. Vince McMahon thought that the Seth Rollins Fiend finish was good heat. How in the hell? Man, it was so bad. Horrible. Did you hear of any spots during the Lights Out Steel Cage match that were turned down for any reason? Nope, I didn't. Do you think Mercedes Moné's finisher should be changed? It looks cool when it's done right, but seems to miss more than it hits. Yes, I do think that it should be changed. I think it should be saved for big moments. I don't think it's a good fit. I mentioned this on our post-show review as well. Is MJF an Adam Cole story, or will it be switching to Cole being the face? I think when Cole comes back, they'll probably finish out the storyline. What happened to Mission Pro Wrestling? I believe like just some, they're just on hiatus for right now. Thunder Rosa's AEW schedule is getting busier and busier. Glenn Flanders says, any idea why AEW stopped using the LED ring apron and barricade? I think due to injuries. A lot of people are getting hurt on it. Think there will be anybody else to jump ship in 2024 between WWE, AEW, and TNA? I think after this year, a lot of people from TNA are going to jump ship to other places. Any news if Bret Hart is going to be used in any storyline on Raw tomorrow? I believe he is. I think he is able to take physicality as well. Whereabouts on AJ Styles? He is healthy. He is just not being used at this very moment. He was on the tour overseas, but was not used on TV for some reason. Don't know why. Will AEW's media rights deal be exclusive to WBD, or is there a chance they can work with WBD and other networks for stuff like ROH or other content? Well, they can work wherever they want with ROH now. It's AEW content that's exclusive to WBD. But it depends on the amount of money and if WBD pays for that exclusivity. I know that AEW people backstage have wanted Dark back, and they would prefer that over some of the shows that they have. But that's not permitted in the exclusivity as of right now. What direction does AEW go in a wonderful past 2 weeks with All In and All Out? They got to keep the momentum. They got buzz. They got heat, no pun intended, but they've got all that, and they need to capitalize off of it. They need to some good, compelling feuds that aren't foregone conclusions. Any update on Malakai Black's contract status? Has Kenny Omega been backstage or around the company in an EVP capacity? No, he has not been. Any update on Malakai Black's contract status? I believe it's at the end of the year. Don't quote me on that. Don't aggregate that. With the Hurt Syndicate being a thing, who do you think could be added to it in AEW, EJ, and Duka? seems to be a natural fit. I believe EJ Nduka would be a fit, and I think he would be added. Will we find out why there was no post all-out interview or comments? Tony had to get to opening game in Miami. It was late. They wrapped up production a little bit earlier than usual. Chances of Natalya returning on Raw. I would say it's almost a guarantee. Almost a guarantee. If you had to choose the next three cities to host Mania, what would they be? But they can't be in North America. Well, London, obviously. I would say if it's outside the U.S., Mexico, but that's still, you know, it's still North America. Mexico City would be kind of cool. Maybe Sao Paulo, maybe. Paris would probably be one as well. I think that'd be a good one. Were you contacted to be a talking head of the Vince McMahon documentary? I was not. I have never agreed to be a talking head on any wrestling documentary thing. Maybe I will in the future, but it's just not something that I feel like would benefit myself, the production, or Fightful at this stage. And everything I do now from a content standpoint is with Fightful in mind. Is there any heat from AEW or WBD or sponsors for the graphic violence from All Out? No, it was on pay-per-view. They don't have to answer to sponsors for that. Very, very rarely do sponsors really have an issue with much that happens on pay-per-view that I've heard of. Guys, thank you all so much. Until next time, we're out.